Good morning. Are we there? No. It's on. We'll keep trying for a minute. You okay? There we go. That'll be fine then. I'm going to read from John 13, if you want to turn there. Holding this in case it starts working. John 13, and I'm going to read from verse 18. Oh, we're there now. John 13. Jesus says, "I'm not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill this passage of Scripture. He who shared my bread has turned against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am who I am. Very truly I tell you, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me." After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which one of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." We've been looking for a few weeks at the I am statements of Jesus in John's Gospel. And this is probably the most well-known one. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And hearing those words in isolation, it might be easy to assume Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees or the religious leaders and telling them, listen, there's no other way outside of me. You think it might be similar to John the Baptist, who went about proclaiming, repent and be baptized for the kingdom's near, that Jesus might say, as he goes about the place, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Or that it might be the opening words to his ministry. But when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, it's the day before the cross, at the Last Supper, to his disciples. He sat down to eat dinner with his disciples, and it hasn't been a lovely meal so far. Jesus, John 13:21, we read it, was troubled in spirit and said to them, very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me. And they sit there and they try to work out what he's on about. Peter forces John to ask Jesus. Jesus seems to clearly identify Judas in the moment, but they don't understand it. And what Luke 22:24 tells me is that in amongst that, they decide they're having a discussion about who's the greatest amongst them. Jesus has washed their feet, urged them to wash one another's feet, and their conversations about who's better than the other in a discussion about who's going to betray him. And then he says he's going away and they can't come. Matthew 26:31, recording the Last Supper, Jesus turns to his disciples and says, this very night, you will all fall away on account of me. John 13, verse 37, Peter asks, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. This is not a fond farewell. It's not been a really uplifting meal so far. And the opening words of John 14 are great. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. There's an invitation to trust him. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's the promise of being brought into the Father's house where there's a room prepared for me by Christ, who's returning to bring me to himself that I might be with him. This is incredible. Jesus is going away, but he's not abandoning his disciples forever. He's not neglecting them. He's going for them, and he's going to come back again and get them to bring them to be with him. But there's a crucial question in all of this that hasn't been answered. Where? Where? See, Jesus says, John 14 and verse 4, you know the way to the place where I am going. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas's response is, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how could we know the way? I think that's very good logic. That makes perfect sense to me. How can I know the route to a place when I don't know the destination itself? Right? If I stopped you today and asked you for directions and said, can you show me the way to the place I'm going? Your first question is going to be, where are you going? Because the way is determined by the destination. Right? You don't tell somebody how to get somewhere you don't know where they're going. And Thomas is crystal clear, we don't know where you're going. So how can I know the way? And you think this might be an opportunity for Jesus to explicitly state where he's going. He's talked about the Father's house and the fact he's going to prepare a place, but he's not identified a location for that. So when Thomas says, we don't know where you're going. So how can we know the way? You think Jesus might say, I'm going to this place. But it seems to me in reading John 13 and 14, Jesus is very intentional in not identifying where he's going. Let me read from John 13 and verse 33. It says, my children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later. This is a frustrating conversation to some extent. Jesus is identifying the fact he's going somewhere. But on at least two occasions now, he's been asked, where are you going? And he's just said, where I'm going, you can't come. That's his first response. You can't come right now. Where I'm going, you can't come right now. But you will. And then the second time when Thomas says, Lord, how can we know the way when we don't know where you're going? He says, I am the way. Why is he not just saying, this is where I'm going? At no point in this conversation does he spell it out. And I think God's a bit like that sometimes. I think that's how he operates sometimes. I want him to tell me exactly what and when and how. And he seems to talk almost in riddles. Where I'm going, you can't come now, but you will. You know the way to where I'm going, but we don't know where you're going. Yes, but you know the way. And some of my frustration in life exists from the fact that I don't have a big picture understanding of everything he's doing. Where me and God are communicating, but he's not spelling it out the way I'd like him to. And at a point in time where there's a lot going on in the world, and lots of people are thinking about, well, lots of Christians at least are thinking about the end, perhaps, and what that looks like. It would have been really helpful for Jesus to paint a crystal clear eschatological view here. But the destination is never spelled out by Jesus in this text. What he wants to draw their attention to is the route. You know the way to where I'm going. We don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? I am the way. And I wonder, if sometimes in our destination-focused thinking, it's more about where we're going than how we get there. That how I journey through life very often is from place to place, with moments in between that have no significance. See, if Jesus had spelled out a destination in that moment, where are you going? And he'd said, I'm going to this place. I wonder how many routes would have been created at this point to get to that place. I wonder how many options we would have. I quite often go on a journey of reasonable distance, find myself sat in a bit of traffic where my sat-nav very helpfully pops up and goes, we found a route that will save you 5 minutes. And so I choose the quicker route that avoids the obstacles and the challenges, that moves away from some of the difficulty on the road in order to get to my destination more easily. That's not how life with Jesus works. That's not how you get to the ultimate destination. There is only one way. And the way is the bit that matters for you right now. I'm not saying it's not important to have an eschatological view, but it's clear to me that sincere people reading the same text come to different conclusions about what all of this means. And so you can be pre-trib, post-trib, dispensationalist, amillennial. You can believe that everything's going to be burned up and there will be a new heaven and a new earth. You can believe that God's going to restore heaven and earth. There are all sorts of views that exist about what the end looks like. And it's important that we give some thought to it. But what I need to know is he's gone to a place and there's a way for me to get there. And that's one thing that is undeniable this morning. That we can't debate that. He is the way. the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. There's one thing he spelled out crystal clearly this morning. He is the way. He doesn't identify the destination, though he's repeatedly asked. He seems intentionally vague. He says where I'm going half a dozen times without ever spelling out what that means. Yet, what he is crystal clear about is there's only one way to get there. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. It's not new information to us. Most of us are familiar with the statement in and of itself. But it gripped my attention thoroughly. That Jesus is talking to his disciples at the end of his ministry. That he didn't address this to people who didn't already believe in him and follow him. How do I know the way to be with him where he is and where he's gone? I know him and I follow him. This isn't rocket science. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's his response to how can we know the way when we don't know where you're going? How you can know the way is it's me. It's me. That's it. It's me. How do I get through this? Him? How do I walk through the seasons of life to get to the place where he's called me to be? Him? How do I end up in eternity with him forever? Him. How do I journey through this life and this world? Him. He is the way. He's the way. So I want to do what he says. I want to follow where he leads. I want to walk in step with him. I want to be obedient to, because he's the way. I'm not discerning there's a different route this morning. He's the way. The route's not going to change. And sometimes what I find myself doing, if I'm honest, is trying to find a different route. Because I'm not always enjoying where he leads. Because sometimes, apparently, he walks me through the darkest valley. Right? That's what Psalm 23 tells me. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff are with me. So there's times in my life where he leads me isn't that fun. But he's the way. And he's the truth. And it's no great surprise to me that we now live in a society where truth has almost no value. Where truth is determined by you. And I have my truth, and you have your truth. And everybody lives according to their own perspective on the world and life and everything else. And that's the sum of how we get on. That's not Jesus' view of things. He is the truth. This isn't something that just works for me. I meet lots of people who say, listen, if that Christianity thing works for you, that's great. And I agree. It works for me and it's great. But it isn't something that just works for me. He is the truth. There isn't an alternative here. There isn't two sides to this story. And he's the life. And I wonder this morning, with an overly familiar verse of scripture, what difference it makes for you in how you live. I'm assuming that for everybody in the room, or at least the vast majority of us, John 14:6 is not a new bit of information. That Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Yet, its familiarity often leaves us in a place where we do absolutely nothing with it. See, here's what I know. If no one comes except through him, then everybody needs him. Right? If there isn't an alternative this morning, then they need him. That I can't necessarily, in great detail, tell you exactly what God has prepared for those who love him. But I can tell you how to get there. Because there's only one way. But I know that. And yet I let others live in ignorance at times. I'm aware of it and I do nothing with it. I know he's the way. Yet very often I am determining my own path. And in the vagueness of life, where Jesus doesn't spell everything out for me right now about who, what, where, when, what I do know is how. He's the way.
I want to live in that. I want to live going, Lord, you're the way. I'm not going to get there through my work. I'm not going to achieve this in my role, in my career. I'm not going to find this in my bank account. I know there is a way that takes me to a place that has been prepared for me. And yet my priorities in life often look entirely different to the thing I know to be the way. It's amazing to me. Those words Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. I'm fascinated by that. He's gone to prepare a place for me. There's a place for me in the Father's house this morning, prepared by Jesus. And he's going to come back and take me to be with him where he is. Yet I'm also aware that he's clear there's going to be some people who are disappointed on the day he comes back. Some people who did really good things, seemingly, who he says, depart from me, I never knew you. That there's going to be sheep and goats. I want to seriously walk with him so I know that it wasn't about the miracles I performed in his name, the demons I cast out, or the prophecies I made, but that he knows me this morning and I know him. That's what matters. You can do great exploits and use his name for it. And him say to you at the end of time, apparently, depart from me, I never knew you. But I want to know the way. I want to know him intimately. I want to know him in all that I can. I want to walk with him faithfully and fully. And if I make a mark on the earth, that would be wonderful. But if I don't, that's okay, because I've walked in the way. If my life is recorded and my name's in Hebrews 11, that'd be lovely. But if it's not, and I'm there were others, that's okay too, because I walked in the way and I'm in eternal joy with him forever, satisfied with a God who dwells with his people, where there is no more tears, where death and disease have its end, where war and violence ceases, where the chaos of this world is no more. How do I get there? I go through the way. Shall we stand together and worship?